Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tite.
And I'm Bonnie North. This week, Project Milwaukee is examining the impact of segregation on the greater Milwaukee area. One of the most obvious indicators of segregation is simply where people live. But drill down a little further, and you can learn about segregation's impact on a person's body and health. Not everyone has the same opportunity to be healthy in a city like Milwaukee.
Chronic health problems such as obesity, diabetes, and heart disease are endemic in the African American and Latino populations. Among young people across ethnicities, data shows Latino kids and teens have the highest rates of obesity, and demographers say they'll make up more than a third of the youth population by mid-century.
Dr. Julie Schuler is the Executive Vice President and Vice President of Clinical Affairs of the 16th Street Community Health Centers in Milwaukee. The health clinics are spread throughout Milwaukee's South Side and inner city, serving some of the city's poorest and most segregated residents.
She joined Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski in the studio recently and explained what the basic components are to a healthy life and how segregation can affect them.
So I think there's two major areas of focus when we talk about healthy lifestyles and lives. First is access to quality health care. And I'd like to delve into that a little bit more as we go along. And secondly is the environmental factors that surround a person, where they live, and the characteristics of their ability to live healthy lives play a very important role in their ability to be healthy as well. Both of those factors, I think, are heavily influenced by poverty, which is part and parcel of segregation. And both access to health care and healthy environments to live in are significantly affected by people living in poverty. Poverty places barriers that make it very difficult for people to live healthy lives. And we see that in the health outcome disparities that are so prevalent both here in Milwaukee, in the inner city where I work, as well as across the country.
And how does segregation impact the nutrition for both individuals and families? Because food cost is a very real concern, whether you're shopping for yourself or trying to feed your kids as well.
So healthy nutrition depends on both an availability of food in general, as well as an availability of healthy food. And oftentimes what we see is there is food available, but it might be at the Quickie Mart down the street where it's chips and donuts and soda with sugar, rather than healthy foods such as fresh vegetables and produce. So people's ability to access the healthier foods is what's important. I'll tell you a little story, if I can.
Absolutely.
About some of the work we've done at 16th Street, where we have a program called Healthy Choices. And what that program does is it enrolls families, because in the Latino culture where we work, family is very important. It enrolls families in a 12-week session of education on nutrition and exercise. What we found was when people learned about healthier foods, they were excited to go try it, but they weren't able to access some of those healthier foods in the local grocery stores. Low-fat cheeses, brown rice rather than white rice. And so the group organized themselves to approach the local grocery stores and ask for the healthier foods to be stocked in the grocery stores. The store owners, because they knew there was a demand for it, were then able to place those products in their grocery stores, and it was sort of a win-win for everybody. But it takes that level of education and motivation on the part of people to make those changes.
On the note of education and learning about your body's needs and how to access healthy foods, do you also think that segregated areas just don't have as much educational outreach to learn about these issues and to be proactive, such as the group at 16th Street was?
I think health education is an issue. I think health literacy is an issue, and whether you can read and write in general or whether you can read and write on issues related to healthcare, which sometimes are a little more complicated than general reading, those all play a factor into the educational levels about health. I think also, like that story shows, not only do you need the education, you need the environment around you to be conducive to that. On another example, if you know and want to exercise, walk, ride a bike, but you don't feel safe going outside your front door, it's very difficult to do that or to encourage maybe your young children to be active outdoors. So it's a combination of many factors, but including the education as well as the environments around people so they can actually enact the things that they're learning about.
A big side effect of not having the proper food and ability and environment to exercise is the rising obesity rates. And obesity rates are the highest among Latino and Black populations, with Latino kids and teens being the most obese and overweight kids from all the ethnic age groups. And they're projected to be 35% of the youth population by 2050, which is a very big, staggering number. So going off the same thing, why is this such a big issue, such a widespread thing that these statistics are projecting this way? And do you see it as individual changes or, again, coming down to family health and health education?
I think the rising obesity levels in our population are very, very concerning because there are disparities between segregated populations. And also because the health effects of obesity are significant in terms of developing both diabetes and hypertension, two chronic diseases that are very prevalent in peoples of color, including the Latino population and the African-American population. And so as obesity levels rise, we expect that diabetes and hypertension will also rise. And those diseases have significant, obviously, long-term effects, both from an individual level and a population level.
One other thing that Milwaukee in particular is dealing with is lead contamination, whether it's in the water or in old houses in the paint. Do you see a lot of health concerns coming from lead in these poorer areas that are often segregated?
So lead is definitely a concern, as we know, from the recent events happening in Milwaukee, and particularly in the inner cities where the infrastructure is older. 16th Street has a program where we have gone into people's homes and checked the lead levels of children's blood and have done this over the past 10 years. It's an outreach program that's been very successful for us. So we knock on doors, and the population has a trust level in 16th Street. So they welcome us into their homes, and we draw a little bit of blood from the children, check the lead level. And for children that have elevated lead levels, we're able to intervene early, which is so important with lead poisoning. Over the past 10 years, we've seen significant decreases in lead levels in kids in our neighborhood. However, the issue persists. And more recently, we've been taking on the role of helping to administer the lead filters in the city to combat the issue with the pipes. And we continue to want to do more in that area as well as time goes on.
You mentioned that your community center has established trust in the community. And I'm sure that helps people to be more comfortable in coming to a doctor, in seeing you guys, and seeking out solutions for their health problems. But how does segregation impact a person's access to health care?
Access to quality health care is critical in maintaining a person's health. And I think there's several components that go into access to quality health care. First of all, a person needs coverage, meaning either insurance coverage or enrollment in Medicaid or Medicare programs. And as we know, that's at times difficult for people. Childless adults for many years weren't able to access any coverage, and it made it very difficult for them to access health care. So coverage is very important. Secondly, we need doctor's offices located in areas that people can get to. So oftentimes in inner cities, we don't see as many doctors and doctor's offices as we need in order to take care of the population that's living there. And thirdly, not only do we need doctor's offices, but we need those offices to have appointments that are available to patients. So at times we've had situations where there is a doctor's office in an area, but they don't have appointments for 6 months. And obviously that's not helpful for people that are trying to access that care. So we need to be able to provide the right care in the right place at the right time. And having coverage and having locations available is critically important to that. I think when we've seen some of the increased number of people seeking care in emergency rooms for conditions that really are more appropriately cared for in primary care offices, it points to our lack of good access for people. People need care, and they show up in the emergency room because they're not able to access that care in a primary care office. So there's many people in the city and many organizations that are trying to combat that. The Milwaukee Healthcare Partnership, which is a consortium of all of the health systems, has joined together to help increase access in the inner city, both on the north and south side. Federally qualified health centers like 16th Street and others on the north side have added new locations and new providers to try and increase access for folks. And we continue to work on it because it continues to be a problem. Changes with the Affordable Care Act and the Medicaid structure threaten access to coverage for people. And so we're remaining very vigilant about what those changes may entail for people, especially people living in poverty and people of color who need that coverage in order to access quality health care.
Do you think because the relationship between doctor and patient isn't established in a good way that it can make people reluctant to seek out that kind of care too?
I think a person's relationship with their doctor is critically important. And when you feel a trust level in your doctor and also in the place where you're coming, it helps people to discuss their concerns and really hear the recommendations. It helps the doctor and the patient to create recommendations together that the patient can actually enact. And it creates a partnership that I think is much more successful than without that.
With your experience in working in a clinic, whether people come in for daily colds and flus, cough, chronic conditions, stress and illness play a big factor in someone's health. So in the people you've met and experienced conversation with and visiting their homes, what are some additional factors that lead to higher stress if one is living in a poor segregated area?
I think the science is just emerging on that. That's proving what we know from sort of a gut sense, which is that chronic stress is detrimental to people's health. Chronic stress in the sense of violence, either externally outside the home or within the home, financial concerns, racism, all those sorts of pervasive issues can lead to a chronic stress in people. And we're coming to learn that that stress can influence disease patterns and may be one of the reasons why we see health disparities between populations. So populations under stress may be more inclined to develop diabetes, for example. And so the health issues related to stress are significant, and I think we'll learn more about that as years go on.
So obviously, segregation and the way it impacts health is not a problem that can be solved overnight. But how can we improve people's quality of life so that it can be reflected in their physical health?
I think the underlying issue is poverty. And I think it's incumbent on us as people to get to the roots of poverty and help lift people that are living in poverty up. How we do that, I think, is so complex and multifactorial. I don't know that any one of us has the answer. As a leader of a health clinic, I feel it's incumbent on us within the health clinic to do as much as we can to lift people out of poverty. If that's health education, if that's helping obtain the tools that they need, helping to advocate on their behalf for issues related to Medicaid, as much as we can do as a healthcare clinic to lift people in the community out of poverty, that's what I want to do. And I think that the value of a culture is reflected in how good we are to each other. And so we need to come together to help lift everyone out of poverty so we can all live healthy lives.
Well, Dr. Julie Schiller, thank you again so much for coming in to talk about this.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Dr. Julie Schuller is the Executive Vice President and Vice President of Clinical Affairs of the 16th Street Community Health Centers in Milwaukee. On April 1st, she'll be the President and CEO. Dr. Schuller spoke with Audrey Nowakowski, and to find out more information on health and segregation and about our whole Project Milwaukee series, go to WUWM.com.